readers and listeners at Upcoming Discs, I want to invite Robert Angelo Massantonio. He's the director, writer, producer, pretty much the whole shebang for the film The Neighbor, which we reviewed here on Upcoming Discs. And I want to welcome you to Upcoming Discs, and thanks for allowing us to talk to you.
Well, thank you for having me.
Hey, listen, before we get on to the movie Neighbor, just let me ask you, how'd you get involved in filmmaking? Where'd all that come from?
You know, it's something that, it's sort of a boring story, but I've just always been...
Never a boring story.
In it, and, yeah, I've just always been interested in film, the process. I mean, when I was 8 years old, I decided I wanted to be a writer, and, you know, I was fascinated with Jack Nicholson and the art of acting, so I thought, you know, I'll be an actor, too, and, and yeah, it's just something, you know, it hit me as a little kid, and just never, you know, it never went away. I never flip-flopped in my life, you know. It wasn't like, well, maybe I'll do this, maybe I'll do that. It's always, you know, been something stuck in sort of a tunnel vision that, that I thought, you know.
Well, and you talked about being an actor, and I was going to bring up the fact that I noticed that in all of your films to date, you've also played a part in them, and I'm wondering if that's maybe a little nod to Hitchcock, or is that something else?
It absolutely is. It was it's a nod to Hitchcock. It's having the audacity just to put myself in there because I don't have to audition or anything like that. I just, here you go, buddy. Here's a role for you.
Well, that's true. You know, the director, the writer, the producer, you know the whole gang.
And it's, yeah, you know, I just figure it's, I do it for fun, you know, it's just kind of, you know, it's, yeah, it's just an extra sort of fun thing.
Now, to date, you've directed stuff that you've written. Would you consider directing someone else's material, or are you pretty much comfortable in this, and this is how you want to keep going?
Yeah, no, I would, if I was presented the right script and you know, the right sort of, there's actually a script I'm working on with one of the actors, Postiglione, who played Mike in Neighbor. He has a script, it's called Heroes. We have to change the title, but it's like a romantic comedy, something completely different than, you know, Neighbor. And,
right.
And that is something that they brought to me, and I did a once over pass on it, you know, but I wouldn't. It's really another writer's voice, you know. So, you know, hopefully I'll be able to get that going.
Great.
Shortly, and then yeah, like I say, if anybody, you know, I think would be a lot of fun to direct something, you know, from someone else's script, and I would also like to see what someone else does with one of my scripts.
I think that would be
a lot of fun, especially because I think I would hand it over and then just say, have fun.
Right.
You know, don't call me with questions. You make it up. You take it from here and let's see what happens. I think that would be the most fun.
You wouldn't want to be one of those writers just hanging around the set all the time trying to see what's going on.
No, because I think I would probably passive aggressively interfere too much.
I hear you.
I think I would just kind of, you know, see in a year. Yeah. Here you go.
Well,
I think that would be a lot of fun.
Let's talk about Neighbor, of course, which is a film we reviewed here at Upcoming Discs. And I guess the first question I have about that is, so where did all this come from? Since you're the writer and the director of it, where did the whole genesis of Neighbor come from?
It was, Yeah, such a hard, such a simple question, yet so hard to answer.
Oh, sure, I understand.
It was an idea, I think, that was bouncing around in my head for a while. I had started an earlier script years ago. Mm-hmm. Called Sick in the Head, and it was much more of a slasher in the beginning of slasher movies.
Right.
But the premise was pretty much the same. It was about this girl in her young 20s that just, you know, starts killing everybody.
Right.
One day. You know, I never, you know, I started it, whatever, for some reason it fell to the wayside, and then a couple years later, I was thinking, really what I was doing was I was bringing my trash cans up one night from the curb.
Okay.
And I was thinking, how scary would it be if someone just sacked me right now and I woke up in the house?
Right.
And, you know, torture ensued. And then, you know, bouncing around ideas with, you know, just with friends and, like, you know, a producer and stuff like that, you know, then it turned back into, well, you know, there's so many, because the first, what do you want to call it? Not draft, but the first incarnation was really about two guys having, you know, it was the character was a guy. And it was, it basically became a battle of wills. You know, the guy tied to the chair wasn't going to give in to this creep. And then, you know, someone had brought it up, you know, remember that, you know, that thing that started with the girl? What if it's a girl? You know, and then it just sprung from there. I'm like, well, that's so much more fun.
Right.
Because, you know, it's, girls get away with so much more than guys. And you know, I just feel like, yeah, what a fun setup that would be. And then I just started, then once I decided it was going to be a girl, it was, you know, I've known from the beginning it was a very, very conscious choice to be as over the top as it was.
Right.
I mean, when I sat down to write it, it was, you know, I knew in my head and you know, Charles Smith, my producer, knew there was really only about a half hour worth of actual story there. Because for us, the story is the violence.
Right.
You know, it's
visual.
Yeah, it's that's the star of the movie, is Vincent Guassini, really.
Right.
And, you know, what he brought to the table. So, knowing, you know, that I wanted it to be that sort of over the top and in your face, I just started asking people, you know, just friends, if it, you know, if this happened to you, what's the worst thing that could, you know, someone could do to you in your house, or, you know, that sort of thing. So, I embellished a few ideas people had given me, and I guess a lot of the tone comes from just, I was just angry in general at the time, so it was really a great way at the end of the day to, to get my aggressions out that had been built, you know, building up all day.
Hey, that's what art is, man. It's we all get our aggressions out in our art.
So.
But I got to tell you, though, when you talk about going over the top, you know, I was fine with everything. That swizzle stick, man, though, I gotta ask, you know, where'd that come from?
That was, I was sitting around with my nephew, and we were throwing ideas around, and he mentioned something that he had remembered in the Vietnam class about how they would stick bamboo under, you know, the POW's fingernails.
Right.
Stuff like that, and I guess me just being sick, you know, sitting there being like, forget bamboos, you know, under your fingernails. What if someone stuck bamboo in your, you know, in your area and snapped it, you know? And then I was like, well, that's going to be a bit. and the swizzle stick just came out of, you know, convenience, something that would be in the house.
Yeah, that was definitely probably the most disturbing scene for me, and I'm sure for a lot of people.
Hey, that was something we had the movie screened up at the Fantasia Film Festival of Canada last year, and I taped the audio of the crowd. I put that on YouTube because that scene did get the loudest.
I'll bet.
The loudest response.
I definitely bet.
My sister has in her house on the wet bar. They have a bunch of swizzle sticks. Well, and every time I walk by, I cringe.
Well, I'll never look at one the same way again. I don't think I'll ever put one in a drink.
Yeah, right. And that was one of those. As soon as I told Charles, you know, this is the scene it's going to be, man. And like, I want to show it. You know, like, I want to stay on this.
Oh, you showed it.
And he was like, I want to get a guy to let us do it. You know, he wanted to put that on Craigslist and. Because apparently it's a fetish where, I forget what it's called.
Ouch.
Where
That's
guys things in there. So we were like, well, like I said, we'll put an ad on Craigslist and you know, maybe someone will let us do it. But I don't think the insurance was happy about that.
Yeah, probably not. I got to tell you, we also have to talk about your actress, America's Olivia, or how does she pronounce that? Do you know?
America Olivo.
America Olivo. Mm-hmm. She was phenomenal. I got to tell you, she was terribly diabolical. There's something about the way she smiled and giggled through these tortures that was absolutely fascinating to me. Where did you find her, and how'd you come up with that? That was a stroke.
Sometimes the stars collide. I was working on, I had this other film in development here in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And she was filming Transformers. And one of the people that was working on this other project was also there. They were doing location casting and such.
Mm-hmm.
Up there. And he just approached her and said, you know, I'm working on this other project, and I think it'd be good for one of the parts. So I originally met her for something else.
Right.
And we just personally...
That's okay. I have one of those myself.
we just hit it off personally, quickly, and just sort of, remained in touch with her, basically became friends, and... I had her, it was one of those, when I sat down to write it, I just immediately thought, who would be awesome in this? I think this is something I want to get America. Yeah. So I had her in mind when I was...
She's perfect for that part, isn't she?
Writing it. Yeah, she would freak me out constantly because, one night we had our editor on set.
Right.
And I was sitting with him, and I thought we were on one. And I'm talking to him, and I was bitching about something. And she came up behind me and put her hand on my shoulder and like got real close to my ear and was like, "I just heard everything you said," and it sent a chill down. I wasn't even talking about her, but it just sent such a chill down my spine. And I looked at her and kind of laugh. She was just like, "Oh my God, you're too easy." And she would do, but you're right. She would turn on this look that I would just be like, "Could you come on?"
Yeah. Well, that's what it is. As I described in my review, that look is phenomenal. That's worth the price admission to the movie right there.
And just the way it's like a switch for
There's a lot of dark humor in The Neighbor. Are you a fan of black comedies and stuff? It seems like some of it's almost leaning that way.
Yes, I am. I did try to throw some of that in there. We also were kind of taking a little jab at movies like Hostel and stuff like that. Because honestly, it drives me a little crazy when I'd be talking to friends and they would would have seen one of the Saws over the weekend, and all was so scary when whatever the dude's head got crossed. Let's say,
right?
And I'm sitting, I'm like, but that's not scary. That's cool.
Yeah.
But it's not scary was to me is Michael Myers, just walking across the street coming at you, and there's nowhere to go, and he's always there.
Right.
That's scary.
Scary's in the shadows.
Yes, exactly. So. My whole thing was if you think that's scary, then I'm gonna, I wanted to take it to such a level where you might not even want to see it anymore.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, all right, man, that's enough. Let's go back to the blood, let's let our imagination back in charge the 80s. We also felt that because it was so, sort of visceral, that to have those moments in between where it was a little,
give people a little relief.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We don't want to drive anybody nuts.
Now I have to ask you, as you've read my review, I love the movie for the most part, but the middle, you know, the problem was it was hard for me to describe in the review because I didn't really want to give a lot away because I realized there's some plot elements in there you really would rather not people know about till they get there because you kind of don't want people to know exactly what's going on. But I got to tell you, that's what threw me. Tell me a little bit about this centerpiece in the movie where things kind of get off for a while and tell me where all that came from and what were you thinking there? Because that's the only part that lost me. I didn't get your middle. You know what part I'm talking about.
Oh, no, absolutely. And it's sort of, the middle part of the film is a series of, they're all really dream sequences. We can call them. Funny enough, the inspiration was The Last Temptation of Christ.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And how it just breaks off into this tangent where... That's where the original, you know, he has two sets of dreams in the film.
Right.
But
then there's like a loop going on, too. It's almost like he's reliving a little time loop for a second there.
Right, but that's him dreaming about basically the day starting over.
Right.
But yeah, there were the two sort of...
little Groundhog Day action going on.
Yeah, and exactly. And it was really... The main intention really is just sort of, to be fun. I mean, I just meant it to be some sort of fun little thing.
Yeah.
And also, I just spaced out on myself.
Well, to me it was like, I guess the part that got me was you were on such a roll. The movie was just rolling. It was the pacing was so great. Everything was moving so fast and so well that it's to me it was almost like the brakes got screeched a little bit for me. And that's just one person's reaction. Because you really were. Go ahead.
Maybe some of it too was also meant to be sort of maybe even a little poke at the audience. Like sticking my tongue out, saying...
Well, you know, that's what I said in the review. I said, it's almost like he gave us the middle finger saying, you know, you stuck with me. It's like, here, take this for a second.
Yeah. But I didn't mean it, like, maliciously.
I understand.
Like, you know, almost like, geez, for lack of a better term, of like a goof.
Yeah, no, I understand. I didn't mean it that you did it maliciously either. But that's what I kind of got out of it. It's almost like, okay, so now he's flipping us the bird here, and then we'll get back to the movie in a second.
I'm going to say that's very fair.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, now you leave up some heavy room for sequel action here. I got to believe that you've got sequels planned to this thing.
The scripts for 2 and 3D.
Oh, boy, 3D.
God willing. I would love to do, part two is, I'm trying to follow, sort of the 80s guideline, 1, 2, 3 and 3D.
Right.
4 is we can call it a standalone. It's kind of our Halloween 3.
Yeah.
But not as detached as Halloween.
Right.
But, it's still part of the same universe.
You're going to have America, though, right?
For it? She is in some of it.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Two and three is all her, though, right?
2 and 3 is all America.
Good.
Yeah. And those actually, we're going to be meeting with some people soon to see if we can, how quickly we can get into that. Ideally, we can do, I would really like to do 2 and 3 back-to-back.
Yeah.
Just for finance, we'd save a lot of money doing it that way. And
probably in the Philly area.
I think it would be a fun challenge.
Yeah. Probably in the Philly area. You're going to film them up that way.
2 is more of. What can I call it without?
Well, yeah. I don't want you to give away your secrets.
2 has more of a road trip element to it. Let's put it that way.
Uh-huh.
So the first half is in the Philadelphia area, and then it sort of takes a little tour. And then 3 actually brings 3 is mainly supposed to be in like almost like a Bates Motel sort of California desert setting. But it ends up coming back to Philly, so.
That's good. Well, if you ever bring her down to Philly, to Florida area, you got to let me know. I got to combine. I'd love to see this stuff in action.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what's next on your plate? It sounds like these sequels are still a little bit off. So what's next for you? You talked about this this Zero script here. Do you got anything else on your plate?
Yeah, you know, I'm mainly concentrating. You know, I had to sort of take. I was forced to take some time off in the spring when we were sort of. I was trying to put this other picture into gear called Haunted because Haunted House Story.
Right.
With much more. It's much more of a nod to 70s Haunted House movies.
Right.
Amityville Horror, The Shining, stuff like that. Has some neighbor-esque scenes in it just because I don't want to go too far away from what people, you know, are immediately going to associate me with at this point.
So when might we see that?
I don't know, because I backburned that when I was diagnosed with cancer in April, so...
Yeah, I saw it. So how are you doing with that, by the way?
Good. I had a third of my tongue removed. I had stage 3 cancer on my tongue. That was taken out. That looks all good. But then there was some actinium in the lymph nodes in my neck. So I begin chemotherapy and radiation within the next few weeks. I think it's like 6 weeks. Not as expensive as Michael Douglas. But then, you know, I think once that sort of out of the way, I'll concentrate really on what we're going.
Yeah, wish you the best in that, too, because...
If the money comes through to do Neighbor, you know, 2 next, I would love it. If the stuff for Haunted pulls through, then, you know, it's one of those, I feel like everything's up in the air. I'm also trying to get in touch with Sci-Fi Channel.
Uh-huh.
I have a script that I think would be perfectly fit for them. You know, it would be good for a movie a week and maybe as like a backdoor pilot.
That'd be great.
I think it would fit in with their...
Can you talk about it, or is it still under wraps there?
No, sure I can talk about it. It's called The Hunters and the Hopeless. And it's about a private investigator sort of guy. I guess the most base way to describe it is maybe like Men in Black with monsters.
Oh, boy. So almost like maybe Kolchak.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I missed
actually, that was a reference I had just made to, I was talking to Vincent Garcini, the special effects artist, about it. And we were talking about Kolchak in X-Files.
And of course, the original Kolchak, not that remake crap.
No. I thought the best part about the remake was in one scene, it's about maybe halfway through, the new Kolchak is walking.
Oh, yeah, they CGI'd the old one, and he was sitting on the desk
laughing. Yeah, I thought that was the best part. I was like, that was amazing.
Yeah, it really was. You just can't replace Darren McGavin. You just can't do it.
No, that shows. I mean, I think it's on Hulu. I'm going to watch an episode coming out that we're talking about it.
Yeah. Well, you know what else, too? I got to ask you a non-movie related question here. And looking at your bio and stuff on IMDb, it says one of your ambitions is to own the Philly someday. If you do, you know, I'm from that area, and Mike Schmidt was an idol growing up. You going to bring him up there to manage for us?
Yeah, I think that would be that would be amazing.
Well, you know, he manages down here at Clearwater, the farm team.
That would be I'm going to write that down.
Yeah, you got to bring Schmitty up there. He was an idol of mine growing up in that area, so...
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I'm giving myself,
I still have like, that's part of like the 25-year plan.
Well, that sounds about right till the next time we'll make the World Series. 25, 30 years. That sounds about right to me. Well, listen, Rob, I tell you what, I'm really happy that we had this chance to get together and talk about the movie. Like I said, The Neighbor, except for that middle kind of threw me a little bit, The Neighbor is an awesome movie. It's the stuff you do and the action you got out of that girl, she's just and I assume, is that really the name of the character, The Girl? That's all I could find. I couldn't find a character name. Is there a character name?
There is. I only told America her name.
Okay.
That part of the trivia is true. I think somebody put that on IMDb. I may have one drunken evening. But anyway, yeah. She does have a name, and you get to find out, but not until part three.
Not till part three.
And I'll put that out there now. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, then that way, you know.
Well,
gotta make all three of them, right?
Yeah, to our listeners, you know, you should really come out and check this film out because it's a lot of fun, and that's the big part of it. The film is a lot of fun. It's got some really crazy ass moments in it that I think look really cool. So and the actress you can't beat. So you did a good job there, and I hope that we'll see these sequels come out.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And yeah, I hope we get to make them.
And I hope you keep in touch with us, and you know, we can check those movies out as well. Like I said, if you ever film in Florida, I'd love to come by and see what you're doing.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. I'll definitely keep you in the loop.
Well, listen, I know you're a busy man, so I won't tie you up anymore. I want to thank you again for talking to us here and letting us put this podcast up.
All right, and thank you for having me on. It was a lot of fun. I look forward to listening to it because I'm narcissistic like that.
I will send you a link.
All right.
All right, you take care.
All right, thank you, too.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.